Thank you to Courtness and Susan. It's always good to come together. We are continuing our sermon series that is called Why Church? And we're looking at the letter that Paul wrote to the community in Colossians. We're going to start tonight in verse 6 through 16. I'm going to read it to you first tonight. We're going to try something a little new, all right? So hear the word of God. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted up and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy or empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of the deity body dwells, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through your faith and power of God, who God raised from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him when he forgave all our trespasses, easing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in matters of food or drink or observing festivals or new moons or Sabbaths. These are only a shadow of what is to come. The only substance belongs and lives in Christ. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? In the silence of the star, in the heaving of the sea, in the rolling of the hill, we see you, Lord. In the voice of a friend, in the chatter of a child, in the words of a stranger, we hear you, Lord. In the longing of our hearts and our minds, we feel you, Lord. Allow me to move aside and let your words be spoken. Amen. So I'm going to be asking you two questions tonight. What fulfills you and what roots you? What are you grounded in? At the very beginning of this scripture, it talked about being rooted in Christ. And as I was reading about it, I thought about Jeremiah 17. Verses 7 and 8, it says, "Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by the water, sending its roots out by the stream." I thought talking about trees and roots and water might be excellent for this congregation in particular. You know, I read some things about trees this week that actually surprised me. Okay, so a bamboo tree. A bamboo tree will almost look like it's dormant for the first 4 years. But as long as you continue to water it and take care of it, in the fifth year, the bamboo suddenly grows 90 feet in 6 weeks. So, what's the lesson in that? Sometimes our faith has deep, unseen roots that you must continue to nourish. Then we have an oak tree, a good old oak tree. A massive oak tree stood in a field for over 100 years. One day, a fierce storm came through, powerful winds affected everything. But the oak tree, These trees' roots went so deep into the ground, it can weather most any storm. Then there's the tree found by water, like I started with. In a dry desert, you can see small trees begin to grow, even though water is scarce. The reason it can survive is its roots go deep underground, finding hidden streams of water. For when we root our faith in Christ, even through spiritual droughts, we can flourish. So let's look again at the beginning of this scripture. It starts just calmly by naming, "Therefore you have received Jesus Christ the Lord." You received it. Continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. Think about your week this past week. Where were your moments of grounding, of centering, of rooting yourself in something that is not you, that is not work, that is not family, that is not TV, but it's Christ. It's scripture. It's knowing and believing and living out who God has called us to be, because you probably got a hint of it in this scripture. Paul's reminding them, this section of the letter is very polished with the pattern in how he writes, right? He's like, "Hey guys, how you doing? You're doing great. I'm very proud of you. Please remember this and do better. I love you." That's kind of Paul's pattern, right? And in this one, he's reminding them who they are. Why? They live in the world. The world is surrounding them and reminding them that they are living differently. They are living by different rules. Systematically in the scripture, it talks about what you're eating and what festivals you're going to and who you're listening to. And Paul is reminding them to stay rooted in the faith. Because I don't know about you, but I don't live my life in this building. I live my life outside pre-empty nesting. I lived 80% of my life in a football stand. It wasn't oozing with Christianity. Right? It was oozing with competition and community and love and respect for one another, but it was grounded in the game. We are grounded in the Word, in our faith, in the Lord. If we continue reading verses 8, "For in him the whole fullness of the deity dwells boldly. And you have come to fullness in him, who is the head and the ruler of everything." The head and the ruler of everything. When I read that, I thought about Isaiah. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. Because sometimes we need to ask the question, and we have an answer: who is God? Why is this important? Why should I ground myself in this? And Scripture gives us this answer: for a child has been born to us, a son given to us. Remember in this letter, what did we do? We received Christ. See these connection points of language. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority will continue to grow, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. And then we go, and here are these new Christians living out what they are called to be in faith. Each and every day. You know that old song, "You'll Know I'm a Christian"? I'm not going to sing. You're welcome. "By My Love, By My Love." Do people know that you're going to respond to anger just a little differently? You're going to respond to a stranger just a little bit differently. You're going to respond to your friends and your family just a little bit differently. I don't think there's one place in here where it calls us to be perfection. I don't know about you, but I like to do things good and right. And if my husband were here talking to the boys, he would say, "Do it right the first time." Family mantra. Yet there's love and grace in that ask, right? In this scripture, it doesn't say be perfect. It says remember who you are, who you're tethered and rooted to, and what fills you up. In verses 10 through 15, I'm going to just actually read 13. "When you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him. When he forgave all of our trespasses." This letter is a letter of hope and inspiration and knowledge of what we're supposed to do each and every day. Have you heard that old adage, like if you're walking around carrying a coffee cup or a tea cup and somebody bumps into you, what's going to pour out? Coffee or tea, right? If somebody were to bump into you, what's going to pour out? Is it going to be the fact that you are rooted in your faith, and because of that rooting, you are filled up with the compassion and the love of Christ? Isn't that what the roots do? It takes the resources and the nourishment and what we need to live our best lives, and it fills us up. You have many choices of what you can fill yourself up with. After church tonight, I'm going to choose to fill myself up with some sushi. Yet, that isn't what fulfills me. That isn't what calls me to be who I am and to be better each and every day. That fulfillment is my love and desire and passion to connect to Christ. Just like the people of the early church, we struggle. We're not perfect. We're surrounded by other cultures and norms that tell us who we should be. Yet, we can still go to the market. We can still go to the restaurant. It doesn't mean we need to stay in this pocket. That isn't what Paul is saying. He's saying go out, but go out rooted and fulfilled in the love and the grace and the passion that is your new faith. And again, it's not the end of the letter. We're not quite there yet, but it's the end of this passage. And the words that really stuck out in verse 17, it's talking about all the things that are happening in the community. And he says, these are only a shadow of what is to come. But the substance belongs to Christ. Rooted. Complete, victorious. So, you have two questions to ponder this week. What do you root your day in. You can easily say the Sunday school answer, Jesus. But then I want you to look at your calendar. Then I want you to look at your checkbook or online. We don't really have those anymore. Then I want you to go through your latest text threads. And then I want you to ask yourself again, what are you rooted in? And just make one change this week. To reconnect each and every day to your faith so that you can go up filled up with the love, the grace, the compassion, and the calling that we have in this church. To be better, to be victorious. In that, though, we're humble, we're kind, we're sincere. Victorious and humble, rooted and kind. Honestly, the only way I can accomplish this is through the love and the grace and the faith that I have been given through Jesus. Will you pray with me? Dear gracious and loving God, I pray for each and every person that is here tonight and watching online. May they feel the grounding and the rooting of the power of your transformative word, so that when we go out filled with your compassion, your love that makes us a humble servant like you taught us to be. May each and every person in this room be blessed so that they can go forth and be a blessing for others. Amen.